Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bird Show.
You expected more from your friends and your lady, huh?
I did. And I don't normally look to the people around me for support. I'm pretty good at being a self-motivator. But I don't know if you've ever done something, maybe a hobby or something like that, and then it took so much time that by the time you got to the end of it, you expected like this grand celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't exactly what you had in mind. And I feel like that's what I experienced.
Okay. They let you down a little bit with their reaction.
A little bit. And it might be a me thing, but I just thought it was funny that I reacted to it the way that I did. So I take up a new hobby, start learning the piano, right? I don't know where this came from exactly, but for my pretty much my as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to be able to play an instrument. And it always came down to guitar or piano for me. And I feel like there's been so many times when I've gone to places and they'll have a piano and I've just always felt like, damn, I really wish I could break Beethoven out right now and just surprise everybody in the room. That's always been like a bucket list item of mine. So instead of just thinking like one day it would be great, I'm like, no, like today I'm going to start learning the piano. And so I do. Every day I take an hour. I try to find an hour of my time.
Seriously, an hour?
An hour of my time. Like it started off with 20 minutes, then it got to 30. And then before I knew it, I was like obsessed. I was like, I really want to learn. So as I was getting a little better, gradually I would want to do it more and more and more. So at first I think to myself like, okay, once I get good enough to like, I got good enough to make the hooks of songs, right? But then my lady is like, nah, you gotta go deeper than that. Like you gotta learn an entire song before I'm really impressed.
So you're not writing your own music. You're still in the process of learning and learning the hooks of songs, right?
Okay. Because I still want to learn all of the keys and all of the sounds. That way, if I can start playing by ear, that's when I can start creating my own music, which is what I'm eventually getting to. But in the process, I stopped. See, and that's key. I'm glad you said that because I stopped myself, right, from my own progress and what I wanted to do in order to try to find a way to impress my lady, right? I'm like, what can I do to impress her? Because she wasn't as impressed as I thought she would be when I was busting out the little YouTube hooks from the song. She was like, it's all right, but you need to learn the whole song. So I was like, I got it. I got the moment. I know how I'm going to get her. And I learned the entire Billie Eilish Birds of a Feather song, right? Because that's her song. And it's our song now because she put me onto it and I've loved it since the day I heard it. So that's like that's our song. Whenever it comes on and we somewhere, we know that's our moment.
It's a great song.
It really is. It's such a beautiful song, right? So I'm like, I didn't even think it was possible, to be honest, for me to learn an entire song this quickly. But I saw people on YouTube saying they've done it and you'd be surprised. So I was like, all right. So there I am every day, every single day for like maybe a week or so, I'm learning each part of the song. And after I get it, you know, you got to kind of keep doing it so that it's fluent and so that you remember it and all of these different. I'm not even posting anymore that I'm learning. I'm making her think I'm not even doing it anymore. Right. So I knew the moment was there. I'm in my studio. There she is. She's sitting there.
And you got a keyboard
I got a keyboard in my studio. And I'm like, I'm gonna just do it. I'm not even gonna bring it up. I'm just bust it out.
Right. So that way she happens to be in the room,
right.
And you're like, I'm just going to start playing it. And
this is my moment.
And this is going to woo her, and she's going to be so impressed that I have learned our song.
Right. So I start playing it. Boom, 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 boom. I'm killing it, too. I'm proud of myself. And I kind of see her in the corner, like, you know, look up a little bit, like, wait a minute. Is that really him doing that? So then eventually, once I start going into the verse, I can see her stand up. Because she probably thinks I'm, like, fooling her. Like, I'm playing it from somewhere else, so I got to keep. But, like, she sees it's me. So I'm seeing she's smiling. But then as soon as I wrap the song up, I turn around, and I don't know what I expected. I really don't. I don't know how it was supposed to. But she goes, wow, that was really cool. I said, not any more than that. I mean, it's really cool. It's not going to cut. I spent weeks on this. What do you mean it's really cool? And she was like, what do you want me to say? I loved it. And I was just like, I don't, this is not doing it for me. Like this.
You were a little underwhelmed.
I was. And then she's like, well, what did you expect me to do? And I was like, I don't know. Now that you bring it up, I don't know what I was expecting.
But not that.
But it wasn't this. Like, what do you mean? That's cool. Like, right? Then even. So then.
Expect her to start taking all her clothes off right there and then?
Maybe.
That's what they do in the movies.
Yes. Jump on me. Oh, my God. I can't believe you did this for us. Something. And like, oh, that's cool. I got to go back to work. I was like, all right. So then. Now I'm upset, right? Yep. I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn Beethoven. I'm going to learn my first Beethoven piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, right? I learn it. Now, she was impressed by Beethoven. She was very impressed by that. That got the reaction I was looking for. But when I call one of my friends who also plays the piano, and I'm thinking he's going to love this, I play Beethoven for him, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's Beethoven. For Elise, I know it. Yeah, that's cool. And then I'm like, all right. He's like, well, what else do you got? So I start playing Coldplay. This dude loses his mind. And I'm like, wait, you lost your mind in Coldplay? Beethoven was much harder. I don't think I'm getting the support or the reaction from my support circle that I need in my new hobby.
It's not why you do it, Mo. Yeah. You don't do it for them.
Yeah.
You do it for you.
Next song I'm going to learn is Me, Myself, and I.
It's the Burt Show.
I have a feeling this is going to fire up some servers. So if you are a server, if you are part of a wait staff at a restaurant and you would like to weigh in, 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. We had a Burt Show listener email us. She wants us to settle a debate between her and her husband. She's asking, if your kid makes a mess at a restaurant, is it your responsibility to clean up or is that why you are tipping? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Here's the email in question. I need an outside opinion on this because my husband and I are totally divided. Over the weekend, we went out to eat with friends and brought our one-year-old along. Naturally, he dropped food on the floor. Some bits of bread, a few pieces of pasta, some shredded cheese. Nothing outrageous, but yeah, it was noticeable. We finished eating, paid the bill, and were about to leave when my husband stopped and asked, you're really not going to clean that up? I told him that's what the restaurant staff is for. But he said it felt wrong to just leave the mess like that. I get that it wasn't a tiny spill, but it also wasn't like he threw an entire plate of food on the ground. Plus, we left a really good tip to acknowledge the extra work. But my husband wasn't having it. Before I knew it, he was down on his hands and knees, picking up food off the floor like we owed the restaurant a deep clean. I told him he was being dramatic, but now he thinks I was being inconsiderate. So am I wrong? Should parents be responsible for picking up after their little ones in restaurants, or is that just part of what staff expects?
Ooh.
All right, Mo, as somebody who is a fellow server, you did your, you paid your dues at Joe's Crab Shack.
I did my time.
Seriously, I feel like that should be mandatory. Everybody should be a server for at least a month.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. You learn a lot in doing so, and maybe that's why I'm on this side of the debate that I am, because I really can't see the logic in both sides. But I'm all for doing your part and just trying to help your server a little bit. I see nothing wrong with that. I get the whole mindset of, yeah, that's what we're tipping for. But that doesn't mean you have to make their job harder if you don't have to. Like, you don't have to scrub the table. Yeah. You don't have to go, you know, like if I'm going to the dentist, I don't purposely make my mouth worse so that the dentist has more work to do. I'll still brush my teeth before I go. It doesn't mean that the dentist still doesn't have to do their job. So for me, I see nothing wrong with trying to keep it as tidy as you possibly can. Even if I'm giving the serve of stuff, I'll stack it to make it easier for them. Just little things that go a long way.
This is something I never got as a kid because I remember when we would stay in hotels, like when we would go on family vacations, my parents would always insist that we would clean up the room somehow. We would, you know, put the sheets in a certain place, or we would do our best. If we found a trash chute, we would take out the trash. And I never understood why you would do that when you're paying people technically to do that for you. But I think it's just you got to have the mindset that we got to help each other out. Like, we all have a job to do in some capacity. And if we can help each other in some way to make each other's jobs easier, it's just important to do that because, just because it's their job doesn't mean you have to make it harder.
Hey, Charmaine, welcome to the Burt Show. Staff responsibility or parent responsibility?
Parents, so sorry.
That's parents. Okay. You were so amped up that you just said the first word, the last word I said.
I was about to say, I'm like, you said that with your chest, too.
Parents' responsibility, huh?
Definitely. I completely agree with what Mo said.
Okay. Are you a parent or are you a server?
Current parents former server, 13 years, past life, but parents' responsibility.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Charmaine. So as a former server for many years and now as a current parent, if Jimmy drops like chunks of food on the floor, I'm picking that up. I'm grabbing a napkin and I'm picking it up before we leave. Mm-hmm. All right, Danielle, is it the staff's responsibility or is it the parents' responsibility?
Definitely parent responsibility. I'm a parent now, server for years before, and I recognize that every time now, and I make sure to clean up after when they were little and there was extra food on the floor, I would always clean it up. I don't want to leave that for the server.
Thank you so much. You guys, it's a sweep right now. Mm-hmm. Nikki, parents' responsibility to clean up after their kid or the server?
It is the parents' responsibility because you didn't walk in there with stuff on the floor. You pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
You leave it the way you found it, right?
Exactly.
We're just going to keep going. Because I think servers need to, like, they need to feel this in their soul.
Got to have a vent line.
Uh-huh. All right. Sarah, is it the server's responsibility to clean up or should the parents?
I think it depends only because I'm a server and a parent. But if it's a small mess and I get tipped well, I'll clean it up. But if it's bodily fluids, I prefer the parents to clean it up.
Well, I would hope so.
You ain't tipping for that. I don't care what it is.
I have had to clean up, throw up before. Because I have to clean it on the table. So,
I've also heard conflicting reports, like this is like a major, like a news report that we're doing right now.
Come on, WSB.
Yeah, right? Because I pre-bus, right? And by pre-busing, that means you sack your sack the plates and the silverware and stuff like that to make it easier for the servers to clean the table. But I've heard that some servers don't like that because we don't do it right.
Oh,
I've heard that too. Because it's kind of like loading the dishwasher. Like everyone has a certain way they like to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
You're on the Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Abby, you've gotten a massive influx of breakup submissions for your podcast, and apparently you have quite the lineup coming for us.
Oh, this makes my job way more fun. Speaking of making your job a little bit easier, but the way I run my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, on Burt's Pioneer Podcasting Network, is I always take submissions, and recently I've gotten a lot of ones from social media. Like, for example, Kristen actually sent me one of a girl I'm talking to this week who said that she broke up her marriage because the family didn't like her. I'm interviewing her today.
Which is so crazy because I don't send submissions often. Whenever I see something on social media that I get so invested in and I'm like, girl, you got to find out, like, you got to get the tea behind this. And the fact that I sent you that and the, like, immediately and in the studio, Abby's like, oh my God, I'm talking to her today.
I know, I'm talking to her at 4:45 today. So I'm really pumped to talk to her and get all the details. But a lot of the submissions I get through the form that I have in my episode description for each of my podcasts is a lot of people want me to be nosy about people in their lives. So this might just be specifically like a Gen Z younger millennial thing, but because we've grown up with social media, we've seen people's lives evolve and you're keeping in touch weirdly enough with people that you wouldn't otherwise have kept in touch with, like people that you followed in high school on Instagram. So you met them when you were in ninth grade, you haven't spoken to them in 10 years, but you're still friends on Facebook or you're still friends on Instagram. And, you know, you're kind of keeping tabs on their relationship and if they got engaged or whatever. And you also equally take note if somebody starts sort of soft launching a breakup where they'll maybe drop cryptic hints that their engagement broke up or something happened in their relationship, or they'll start like angry posting on Facebook. And so I've gotten a couple of really fun ones from my submission form for my podcast, and I thought I would share a couple of them with you because it's really fun to be nosy and kind of be on the edge of your seat, and hopefully I'm going to be able to quote unquote solve these breakup mysteries.
Hello, I'm a white woman. It's in my DNA
to be nosy.
I am genetically built to be nosy.
Save that.
So this one says, my first official boyfriend was a guy I started dating the week after we graduated from high school. I'd had a crush on him since eighth grade and his family never seemed to have a problem with me. But But after him and I became official, his mom was convinced I was a gold digger and threatened to disown him if he didn't end our relationship.
Wow.
It was a rough year. His mom made my life hell, and I eventually ended the relationship after a year and moved on. Well, a decade passed, and in August of 2023, I got a private message on Facebook from a woman who says, "Hi, you don't know me, but I'm married to insert X's name here. I just wanted to give you an apology from his mom that I know she never gave you. We had a brief conversation, but I stopped replying because I didn't want to get too involved. But then about a year later, she messaged me again saying, I'm starting a insert X's last name family survivor club. Do you want to join? The catch was her last name had reverted to her maiden name, and all the pics from their wedding had been scrubbed from social media. Around this time, he also refollowed me on Instagram. So I want to know what the heck was going on that still had me involved in this relationship literally a decade after I left it."
Whoa, that's insane.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's deep.
But I was like, girl, why don't you just ask her? Like, you're already messaging her on Facebook. So yeah. I'm like, you've got the inside scoop. Why are you going to make me do the work?
But well, because sometimes you want to be left out of the narrative, even though you're a major part of it.
That's a little bit. Okay, so the next one says, we all assumed that these two girls in our sorority were hooking up. And after girl number one graduated and moved away, she still flew back to visit this girl. We'll call her girl number two. And after a while, girl number one had hard launched a new girlfriend on Instagram, and her and girl number two had unfollowed each other. So now girl number one is engaged to somebody else, and girl number two has been posting petty things on TikTok, like, insert quote, me when my ex cheated on me on my birthday. And we all know it's about girl number one because they were together on her birthday. Basically, our whole sorority wants to know what happened between them, but they haven't talked about the details with anyone. So hopefully one of them will tell you.
Get the tea.
Get the tea. Yeah.
Okay, here's the last one. It says, I have heard in our small town that we'll call her Brittany. I've heard that in our small town, Brittany caught her husband of 2 months at the time cheating on her on their honeymoon. He has apparently been cheating on her for 2 to 3 years. The mistress posted pictures of the husband and her kids out. And I think that's how Brittany found out he was cheating. The worst part is they were on a cruise ship. They apparently got back and were going to work on things when the mistress's number ended up in his phone again. So Brittany turned around and had relations with the neighbor.
Mm-mm.
Of course, this is all he said, she said, so I don't know how much is true. I would like to be anonymous, though, if possible. Don't reveal my name.
Sound like you got some work to do.
I know. I have tons of work to do, but hopefully if you can get to the bottom of it, it makes for a good story.
You're on The Burt Show.
So I already knew the answer to the question before I asked you, Mo, if you knew what office siren culture was.
Oh, you just wanted to prove what I ain't know?
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I didn't know what it was either until I saw this article. And apparently it was all the rage last year among Gen Z women, but it's on the way out. Office siren culture is on the way out. So before we explain what's taking its place, Abby, can you please explain to Mo what office siren culture is for Gen Z?
It's girls showing up to the office looking like a sleut, essentially.
That's what it is?
I read online.
Like,
well, that it's office attire, but it's edgy and it's fashion forward.
I wouldn't even call it fashion forward. It's what influencers who have never worked an office job think office attire is. They went to the fashionable website revolve.com and decided to look at the blazers and the pencil skirts that they have available on that website, which is not for office attires.
Got it.
And decided that that's what people would wear to the office. So they would show it off. And then girls who actually go to a corporate office are looking to those girls for inspiration. And I think it is caught on so much that people are like, oh, it's so sophisticated and dare I say sexy that they're labeling it as the office siren look.
All right. But now that is on the way out. Apparently Gen Zers are now moving towards a more conservative work uniform. And on TikTok,
you mean they're just dressing like they should have all along?
Maybe. On TikTok, some young adults admit to adopting a quote unquote Steve Jobs style uniform at work. So he was very well known. He wore jeans and like a black mock turtleneck thing, right? Mm-hmm. So now women are wearing like boat neck tops, tailored trousers, sweater sets. They're they're choosing conservative and comfortable over the siren look.
Breaking news, Gen Z has decided to wear typical office attire to said office. They've decided to button up their shirts and go in looking appropriate. Okay.
You mean the exposed lace bra is out?
It's out.
And a turtleneck is in?
They've decided to let their managers live in peace and not flirt with an HR complaint.
Oh, thank the Lord.
All right, Producer Jackson, you are dabbling in pursuing a side hustle, but you really don't know how to get into it, so you're looking for some advice.
That is exactly it. I always think, who needs a therapist or a life coach when I have y'all to talk to every single day? Oh. And so that's why I'm here.
Okay, we're going
to
start charging.
Let's not go that far.
That's going to be my new side hustle. Just Venmo requesting you every time I give you advice.
The side hustle is for me to make more money, guys, not for me to lose money.
My bad.
And so I've been doing a little bit of soul searching as far as, you know, sort of my career goes and what I'm doing with, you know, this opportunity that I have working, you know, as a producer here.
I thought you were about to say what I'm doing with my life.
Well, that is kind of part of it.
Yeah.
And I've had anything but a traditional career path when it comes to working here. I've told this a million times, but I started out as a finance guy doing banking for a few years. Then I went and did the tech side of things where I was working in tech for a few years. And then here I am working as a producer in a radio show. And, you know, when I've been thinking about what it is that I want to do, or maybe it's not saying that I want a career change per se, but maybe something to start on the side that could potentially turn into something. And the one thing that has really been kind of piquing my attention is doing voiceover work and potentially voice acting. I think I'm a terrible in-person actor, but I feel like with the voice, you kind of get a little bit more freedom and creativity to do stuff with that, right? And so, you know, I feel like there's so many resources that I have, you know, at my disposal here. I know Kaylee's done a lot of voiceover work. Mo, I know your guy. Keon does a ton of that stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would be really kicking myself to not really take advantage of some of the connections that I have around here. And I just kind of don't know where to start. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Kaylee, and Kaylee does have a stunning voice. I will often be watching television and it'll be on a streaming service and I'll hear a commercial and I'm like, wait a second. That's Kaylee. So how did you get into it?
Kind of the same path Jackson's talking about. You know, when I got my foot in the door at the station, I was like, all right, I got all this at my disposal. And I knew that while radio is very kind of organic a lot of times and more improv, I knew that there was kind of this area where it kind of segued into voiceover if you wanted to go that route. And so I just started taking, you know, acting lessons, voice coach lessons.
You did?
Oh, I still do. I have a voice coach in L.A. I still like.
Tell me,
what's an exercise?
Yeah, I want to know inside what is a voice lesson like with your voice coach out in L.A.?
It's me reading scripts and her telling me how bad I am.
Doing
basically,
better.
I mean, like, yeah, it's just interpreting what the author or writer mm-hmm. was. How, like, wanting you to deliver it. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's...
Because you emote with your voice.
Yeah, and it's inflection. What words do you hit? What words don't you hit? And it's just, I mean, there is a lot. And it's, you know, and I guess it depends on what level do you want to try to, you know, are you trying to get Home Depot national spots that are going to pay you Josh Lucas money at hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for that one job?
Yes.
Or do you...
You got me in it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Here is your parental warning for some content that may not be suitable for children.
See, I think parental warning, because we were debating this the other day. Mm-hmm. Do we say parent warning or kid warning? And when you buy an album, right? If you buy music that is sensitive for little ears, what does it say on the front of that album?
Parental consent advisory.
Yes.
Yeah, sure does.
So I think we give the parental warning. Uh-huh. That way the parents can make the decision as to whether they want little ears to hear it.
I think I should do what I used to do for that Adam and Eve commercial I used to do, where I was just like, sex! And then the parents go, no, take it off! Okay. Take it off!
We are not doing that. Okay. I know Bert is out, but no, we're not doing that.
I'm kidding.
I let a lot of things slide. I ain't gonna let that slide.
I'm joking. That's why I gave the parental warning.
I know you did. We're messing with you, Abby.
Okay, so in a recent lawsuit, this guy named Joseph Manzaro is alleging that Beyonce and LeBron James were witnesses to some of these freak-off parties that Diddy allegedly was throwing over the last, you know, couple of decades. So this all has to do with a party that apparently happened for Diddy's son, King Combs, at Gloria and Emilio Estefan's Miami home, which apparently it's like down the street from where Diddy used to live or currently lives in Miami.
Because that's like Star Island, right? Where like all like these big celebrities live, and these are like multi-million dollar mansions.
You got to be like super, super rich to live there. So apparently he was drugged and subjected to humiliating treatment that he is claiming was all facilitated by Diddy. He's claiming that he was made to wear a penis mask and was paraded in front of guests, including Beyonce and Jay-Z. He said that Beyonce saw it and was like, what the heck? He was like very confused upon seeing him going in this state. The lawsuit is describing the event as a freak-off involving non-consensual acts. Obviously, Diddy's legal team is saying none of this went down.
Okay, and I want to make sure I didn't mishear this. Did you say this was a party for Diddy's son?
Yes.
There were a lot of rumors that in Diddy's time of having quote-unquote freak-offs, some of them were to celebrate like his son and his family. But according to them, those weren't the freak-offs. Those were just Diddy parties. And obviously, that's the same thing that the LeBrons and the Jay-Z's of the world are saying as well, that they did attend these parties, but they were not freak-offs. They were just parties, and everybody allegedly left before that would take place.
And that's what I've heard a lot of people saying, like, in was it Denzel Washington that said, like, you knew to leave at a certain time?
Might have been.
Before, because, like, at a certain time, you left because, like, after, like, if you left before, like, 3 a.m. or something, you were safe. But after 3 a.m., that's when, like, the freak-offs started, and you knew things got freaky.
And I don't know how accurate this is, but one of Diddy's former assistants in one of his documentaries said that a lot of people have this idea that he would just have these major freak-offs with all of these people and celebrities, and most of the time, that's not what it was. Those would just be parties, and when he would indulge in the activities that were a little more, it would really usually just be him and a few other people. So I don't know what to believe.
Like,
anymore.
Even if it was a party for his son that turned into a freak off later and his son wasn't there, it's still creepy to think that you invited all these people to celebrate your son, and then on the heel, like literally on the heels of that party, you engage in activity like this.
I wouldn't put it past them, to be honest. It doesn't sit well, man.
Well, I mean, none of it sits well, but that especially is just kind of, it's just given major ick.
What makes it even worse is that King Combs was a minor when all of this allegedly went down. So he was 17 years old. It was his 17th birthday party, allegedly in April of 2015. Obviously, everyone is saying that none of it went down, but there's even proof that's coming out that none of the witnesses that are being alleged were there were actually in Miami at the time. Jay-Z's attorney is providing evidence that Jay-Z was not in Florida during this incident. LeBron at the time was also playing for the Cavaliers, and his representation is saying that a simple Google search shows that he wasn't even in Miami at the time. So who knows? This could just be another frivolous lawsuit for somebody trying to get a quick payday because maybe he was at a party and is saying that non-consensual things went down.
Yeah, flight logs are never going to be more important than when this thing goes to court.
Truth.
Proving exactly where people were at what time.
All right, prosecutors in Fulton County right here in Atlanta want to revoke Young Thug's probation, saying that he's been involved in some behavior that has put witnesses and legal officials at risk. So this all has to do with, of course, Young Thug, whose real name is Jeffrey Williams. He's been in some legal trouble primarily due to this music label named YSL, standing for Young Slime Life. And the prosecution has alleged that this music label isn't just a music label. It's a criminal gang that's involved violent crimes like murder, armed robbery, and drug trafficking. So he's currently out on probation, but they want it revoked because he posted a picture of an investigator on social media after a blog had already shared it. Despite a judge's order to keep her identity private, things have escalated and the investigator's home address got leaked. Threats started rolling in against her. So prosecutors are seeing this as a really serious problem. And obviously, Young Thug's lawyer is pushing back against this. So, could be bad news for him.
Yeah, hip-hop is in a dark place, man. You can't even tell what's, like, actually just music and what's involved with the streets. And a lot of times, those lines get blurred. And these record labels actually profit off of young men going to prison and dying. It's a bad, really dark time in hip-hop for that way.
For more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Everybody say hi to Bert.
Is he listening?
He is.
Hi, Bert. Oh,
what's up, Bert?
Bert and Cassie.
Why did I look around the room?
Yeah,
he's like, he's always here.
Yeah, Bert and Cassie are in Chicago at a podcasting conference, and I've been getting emails about the show, so he's definitely listening. I'm not going to say he's air checking. He just enjoys the show. He very much enjoyed your piano playing story. And it was actually about playing the piano, not the other piano. Not the other time that we were talking about. All right, so Katie, you suspect that your aunt is lying and you're ready to get to the bottom of it.
Yes. I think my aunt has a sneaky link and she's not trying to tell me the truth.
Okay.
Well, that's why it's sneaky.
Well, it can't be sneaky, and the excuse she's using is what I don't like about the sneakiness. So my aunt lives in a completely different state and I don't see her like that often. And I don't, we'll check in on the phone. I'm trying to think about how often we really talk, but we'll do check-ins.
And this is the aunt whose house you live in, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. And so lately, the last couple of months, she's been coming down to visit more often than usual. So at first I was like, oh, this is great. She wants to come see her only niece and her only sister. Like, of course, she just wants to spend quality family time. Cool. And when she comes down, it'll typically be just for like a weekend. She'll fly into town and then she's out by Sunday, right? And so the last time that she flew into town, she said that she already had plans. She was like, I'm just going to go hang out with some of my friends and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, cool. And she asked to borrow my car. She's like, Katie, can I take your car to meet my friends? I'm like, of course you can. Sure. Go have fun. So she goes out and after like hour three, I'm like, where is she? Like, well, she could be having fun with friends. Okay. Time goes by. It is now midnight. And my aunt had left at 5 p.m. So it's now midnight. And I'm like, okay, where is she? And I'm not more so concerned about her. I'm more concerned about my car. So I have a little app and I check it and to see where its location is.
So you can track your car.
Yeah, I can track my car. And it shows that she's at Papado's. I'm like, who's been at Papado's for like 5 hours? Like, what? This is crazy. So I'm like, all right, fine. She's probably fine. I go to sleep. About 2 a.m., I hear her come in. And she comes into my room. She peeps. She's like, hey, Katie, you up? And I hear her, but I'm still acting like I'm asleep. And then I just don't say anything. I just, right? And she walks out. But I'm like, why is she getting in at 2 a.m.? This is crazy. Who spends that much time at Papado's? The next morning, she's like, oh, yeah, we shut down Papado's. I'm like, Papado's closes like at 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. Something's not adding up here. But whatever. So then this weekend, she's coming back into town. She hits me up a couple of days ago. And she's like, hey, Katie, I need to know a good Mexican restaurant. And I'm like, I don't know any good Mexican restaurants where you live. She's like, no, silly, I'm coming into town. I'm like, okay, fine. So I send her a place and she's like, yeah, me and my friends were going out to this restaurant. I'm like, something don't smell
friends.
Right about this. Right, quote unquote friends. And then she's like, but don't worry, this time I got a rental car. And mind you, she's only coming for one day. She's doing a turn and burn.
Ooh.
So she's just coming into town, not to hang out with family.
I was going
to
say, and she's not hanging out with you or your mom.
No.
That's weird.
To see these quote unquote friends again and then just leave the next day, fly out the next day. So I'm like, this is not, something's fishy here.
So you think she's completely BSing you guys and that, like you said, there's a sneaky link, like there's a dude that she's hooking up with.
Absolutely. Like what other explanation would there be that you're flying into town, hanging out so late, not even hanging out with us? No.
She got the rental car, so you can't track her anymore. Yeah.
No, she can.
That too.
There's an easy solution to this.
What?
You gave her the restaurant rec, so you know where she's going.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's taking a rental, so you have your car.
No.
Yes.
You pull up to the restaurant.
Pop up on your aunt?
Well, she's not going to know. She's not going to know.
That doesn't make it
Nobody's
any less psycho.
Nobody's going to know, Mo. How are they
going to
know?
It's only psycho when people find out.
So you go to the restaurant, but you don't go in. Like, you find a way to, like, kind of suss out the situation and see who she's there with. And if she's there with friends, she's there with friends. But if she's there with her sneaky link, now you know. And I would be kind of peeved, like, if she hasn't been visiting a lot and all of a sudden she's coming into town, but she's not spending time with you and your mom.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
That's the part where I'm like, yes. Quality time.
She's grown.
No, but I mean, if you're
she's
coming
into town.
She's
seen him for years. No. She got a new little thing she's excited about. What's wrong with that?
Listen, I'm all about Auntie getting her groove back. Like, but at the same time, A, you got to be honest about it. And B, you got to make more effort to come in and see the people that also live there at the same time. Facts.
That's fair.
A balance. Yeah, I'm just asking for a simple. Balance. Okay?
I don't mind you coming into town for some tail. Like, everybody's got to get some. I get it.
And that might be all she got time for right now.
Will you do it? Will you go?
Okay.
Seriously?
You got to go full undercover.
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
You need a disguise and everything.
In fact,
disguise. I'm going to come with you.
Yeah, you know what? Let's pull up. It's Friday.
We're getting to the bottom of this. But if we're going to a Mexican restaurant, I want some chips and queso.
Let's go order.
The Bert Show.
Are they still friends or did the friendship blow up after we did the texting tutor? So we call a follow-up Thursday to follow up on some Bert Show storylines. And we had a Bert Show listener reach out to us trying to text a friend being like, hey, love this journey for you that you want to lose weight, but I'm not feeling you pressuring me to join you. And I remember the texting tutor did not go well. So we were wondering if it was going to fragment the relationship or if they were going to be able to come back from it. So Mo, give us all the details.
So this was back in January, and Julianne's best friend made a New Year's resolution to get healthy, lose some weight, and a friend kept pressuring her to join her weight loss journey, but Julianne was happy with her body. She didn't want any part of it. So we helped Julianne set boundaries with our texting tutor, but a friend responded with just a thumbs up. So the situation escalated when Julianne's friend sent her a heavily filtered photo, making her look 20 to 30 pounds lighter, with the message saying, quote, see, this is what you could look like in a few months, end quote. Julianne was hurt by her message and started questioning their friendship. We advised Julianne to maintain her boundaries by not addressing the photo or weight loss requests. And what has happened since?
Here's the update. It says, hi, Bert Show. I bet you weren't expecting this, but as of today, it's me who needs to apologize to my former best friend. I'll catch you up to speed because I do need your advice. We didn't really talk for a few days after she sent the photo of me edited to look smaller. I was struggling on how to handle the situation. I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt, but I was really hurt. I got brunch that weekend with one of our mutual friends and had a big vent session. While my other friend got a little loose-lipped over some drinks, not only had my BFF been hounding me about losing weight with her, she'd been talking to other people behind my back. She'd been making comments about how she's worried about my health, and she had even shown our other friends the edited photos she'd made, asking them if they thought the fake me looked better. I was enraged. Harassing me about my weight was one thing, but involving other people felt so cruel.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm mad for her.
So the vent session turned into more of an S-talking session. The bottomless mimosas were truly bottomless with that liquid courage, and I got a bright idea. Here's one thing to know about my best friend. She has a big nose. I say that without judgment. The truth is, I love her nose. I think it fits her face perfectly, and I've always told her so, but I knew it was an insecurity. So I downloaded one of those Facetune apps, and I edited her perfectly beautiful schnoz into a petite, tiny ski slope nose. I texted her the photo right then and there with the exact message she sent me. See, this is what you could look like in a few months.
That is petty.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Yeah.
Please don't judge me too much. I was really drunk and upset. And as soon as I sobered up, I felt an immediate wave of guilt. I texted her again, telling her it was a joke and that I was sorry for pushing it too far. My message didn't deliver. She blocked me. We haven't spoken in months now, and I really miss her. I know I was wrong, and I've tried to pass an apology along to her through our mutual friends, but there's been nothing. My birthday's coming up soon, and I want to throw one last Hail Mary and invite her. I truly think if we could sit down and talk about where we both went wrong, we could come to a mutual understanding and move on as sisters again. What do you think? Please help.
I get that she was trying to deliver the message so that her friend could see how she felt, but obviously she went about it the wrong way. I think at this point, you just got to give her time to see if she'll ever forgive you, because that was a low blow, and you knew exactly what you were doing.
It was a low blow, but it was also a low blow for her to send an edited photo to her. Like, and two wrongs don't make a right. And I know you have deep regrets for sending the Facetune photo of her with a smaller nose, which is probably preying on an insecurity of hers. I feel like this is unfortunately now a situation where everybody's wrong. Like what Julianne's friend did was below the belt, sending a edited photo of her look, you know, 20 to 30 pounds lighter and saying, see, this is what you could look like in a couple of months. Like that, a solid friend wouldn't do that. And maybe she is a solid friend and maybe she's just misguided.
Right.
I'm not really sure like where this is coming from, but then also to find out, like if when you're at a brunch with a friend and then you find out your other friend has been talking smack about you and your weight behind your back, that cuts you to the core. Like your friend's been, it's one thing to vent. It's another thing to like mean girl and gossip about somebody and their appearance to your friend group. So I get why she's so upset. And I'm a little disappointed in myself that I'm not more mad she sent the Facetune nose picture, because I'm almost kind of like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Well, here's where it changes for me with the whole Facetune nose thing. And I'm totally in agreement with you that everybody is wrong at this
point.
Yeah,
totally.
The difference for me is Julianne's friend doesn't feel like she's wrong. Like she doubled down on the weight thing. She edited the photo. She's talking to other people behind her back. Like she has in no way acknowledged her part in this argument. Whereas Julianne would have never sent that photo had the first shot never been taken with her friend.
And multiple
shots. And she feels remorse for it. She's regretful for it. She wants to reconcile with her friend. So honestly, Julianne, I think you're better off without this loser talking about you behind your back constantly and weight shaming you. What you did was wrong. You shouldn't have done it. But at the end of the day, you recognize that. And to me, that's what makes me want to side more with you than your friend.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. And that's a tough spot when you feel like someone is hurting you, but it could be coming from a place of ignorance, or maybe they just really don't get it. So you strategically find a way to get them back, and that makes it seem worse. But I completely feeling like, okay, it wasn't wrong for her to do all the things she was doing in the first place either.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mikey, you feel like you were treated differently than your girlfriend and you're upset about it?
Yeah, well, I'm not upset about it. I'm saying, what is going on, really? And is this a real thing? It's going to be very blanketed. This is going to be a blanketed statement based on my experiences. But here's what happens is whenever my girlfriend is around a group of only my friends where she's the only girl there, mm-hmm. I feel like she is treated with the utmost respect and people are conversational with her and they, it seems like they're watching out for her.
They're like, respectful. They treat her, they treat her like the queen that she is.
Yeah. They treat her like she's the only girl in the group.
And you have a problem with this?
That's beautiful. No, that's a beautiful thing.
Okay.
That's good. The problem comes whenever I'm the only guy in a group of her friends. You'd think they'd treat me like a queen, but...
wait. Yeah, I don't know why you think that, my dude.
No, so what happens is it seems like anything discussed is coming back to bite me. Like, you know, girls love to discuss bad boyfriends.
Oh, you're the fall guy.
Yeah, and so then they look at me and they say, if you ever did that to her, I'll do violence on you. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I'm just sitting here.
So you're getting the brunt of their frustration when they're talking about, like, dudes and the way that dudes have hurt them, and then all of a sudden all the frustration gets taken out on you and you just happen to be there.
Yeah, and that would never happen the other way. It's not like a group of my friends are sitting around, this girl cheated on her boyfriend. It's like, if you ever cheated on Mikey, you're done. It's like, that's scary. You can't say that.
Yeah, I think it's just a defense mechanism and a deflection thing that women do, but I'm going to tell you how to get out of this, because okay. I think this is just a habit that women do because our friends have been cheated on, and of course we want to like take out that anger on somebody, and you're there, you're the scapegoat, you're the pinata that people are hitting.
And you're really fun to hit. Sorry.
I
you
know.
Really are.
Easy.
You're just so sweet.
I know.
So, fight back, Mikey.
Mikey, if you want to be treated like a queen by your girl's friends,
okay,
you got to learn to queen out.
Yep.
You got to show them that
Does that mean have two hands on like a coffee cup while we talk?
What?
That's what it's and sit crisscross applesauce?
That's like the first thing
you gotta cozy up.
With my eyebrows all the way raised.
You know what? That's a good start. Make sure you clutch your pearls.
No,
he didn't. If that's what's gonna get you to the mental place to be able to queen out, then you start there with the coffee cup. You start there with the crisscross applesauce. But I can tell you from experience that when when you're a girl in a group of guys, I think mentally it's some kind of survival instinct that you just start acting like one of the bros. You try to assimilate and not stand out as soon as possible. So I think as a guy, you kind of have to make that mental switch of like, it's time to queen out. Get a little zesty, Mikey. Talk about Temptation zesty. Island.
Veronica said that. She did not.
Yeah.
She does not deserve you.
That's so... Okay, let's do a scenario. Okay. Let's do a fake scenario. We're going to play this out. Right. We're going to role play a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm one of your girlfriend's friends. Mm-hmm. We're sitting there. Now get your coffee cup, both hands. Okay, there you go. Crisscross applesauce. Okay, there you go. Perfect. Kristen.
Yes.
Did you hear what happened with Zach and Cody?
What
happened? On deck? Were they on deck?
Yes, they were on deck cheating, on their girlfriends. With the principal.
Mikey, how can you let this happen?
Why was the principal on the cruise?
Mr. Mosby.
We need to come up with a different
scenario. I'm not good at improv. I tried here.
I just think it's funny that instead of us learning to not take past traumas out on people that have nothing to do with it, we're turning Mikey into a queen to be accepted at the table.
Get your crown,
you know what? Mo, that's a good point.
Just saying.
I fell into that too deeply.
You did.
I should stick up for myself a little bit more next
time. Stay on business, man.
Yeah.
Or just leave.
I know. Okay, well, I suggested that, but no, a guy did that the other day.
Yeah.
Everyone was mad at him. He was the only guy there, and he left. He's like, why do I need to be here? They were like, well, he's a jerk, huh? So
Exhibit A, you got to assimilate.
Oh.
You can't win, bro.
Yeah, okay. Really can't. You can't win for staying. You can't win for losing. I would kind of be like, did I cheat on anybody? No. So why am I now all of a sudden your punching bag?
Bingo.
Have you ever said that?
Oh, man. No, I mean, they hit you with these slights. They get you with the slights. If you're like, hey, I never did that, then they're like, whoa.
Well, you can't get defensive. If you're too defensive, then that screams guilt.
Okay. Well. All right, I'll be slight defense.
You know what you should do is just blow their mind. Just grab your coffee with both hands and stand up and be like, ladies, I am respecting my boundaries and this has become a toxic situation for me. So I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation. Have the day you deserve.
Ooh. Okay, I need to write stuff like that down.
You got this, queen.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.